Thanks for joining us at the Good Mood Clinic podcast, where we get to the heart of the matter about what makes us humans tick. We're Justine Corry and Gemma Gladstone, two clinical psychologists and schema therapists, and we're passionate about helping you break unwanted life patterns and finding new ways to understand yourself and those tricky people around you. Life is way too short to be derailed by our schemas, by self-sabotage, toxic relationships, or a lack of self-worth. So let's tackle this together and help you reclaim your life and who you really are. Hello, welcome back to the podcast. My name's Gemma Gladstone. It's nice to be here with you again today. In today's episode, I'll be sharing with you a clip taken from one of my lessons in our course, Know Your Schemas. In this clip, I'll be discussing overcompensation as a coping strategy that we talk about in schema therapy. So when our schemas are triggered, then we have certain urges to respond in certain ways. And in schema therapy, overcompensation or counterattack is one of three maladaptive ways that we can respond to our schemas. Maladaptive because typically it doesn't help us. If anything, it reinforces the story of our schema when we use these maladaptive coping strategies. So they can be coping strategies which are self-sabotaging, which can make the situation worse, which can make us further away from people. And in the case of overcompensation, that's very true. Our needs are less likely to be met if we're operating from this unhelpful place. So in this clip, I go through the 18 early maladaptive schemas as developed by Jeffrey Young in the original schema model. And I go through and mention some examples of the overcompensating coping style for each of those schemas. So I go through that pretty quickly and just give one or two examples for each. And of course, it's not, comprehensive or exhaustive. There would be many other examples that I'm not mentioning, but this will just give you a taste to see whether you can recognize if you are an overcompensator or not. I hope you enjoy listening. Just a reminder that in the show notes, we have a link to find out more about our schema circle. Our Schema Circle is an ongoing online membership for those interested in schema therapy, personal development, self-development, who want to really learn more about schemas and what makes us tick. And if you're really interested in learning how to break some patterns you've got in your life, then it would be a great place for you. So we'd love to have you join us. Justine and I are continually working away adding new modules of our new course, Know Your Schemas. It's an 8-module course, and we are dropping lessons and modules in that over the next several months. So in this lesson, we're going to talk all about overcompensation as coping behaviors and a coping style, how to recognize and identify if you cope with your schema activation by overcompensating. We're going to look again at some examples for each of the 18 schemas. Just to review, of course, when a schema is triggered, we have a host of coping processes internally and we have an urge to respond. And in this lesson, we're going to take a deep dive into overcompensation. So to overcompensate, in general terms, means to fight against the schema by thinking and feeling and behaving in an opposite way. So behaving as the opposite, as if the opposite of the schema were true. When people overcompensate, they're attempting to get as far away as possible from the original childhood vulnerability of the schema. If they felt powerless, then they're trying to get away from that feeling by being powerful, by behaving in a dominant way, or by being defiant against authority figures. Another word you hear in schema speak is often counterattack. They mean the same thing. We're pushing away the schema. We're fighting against the schema. We're essentially saying, no, in this case, I will not be powerless. In abandonment, you're saying, I will not be abandoned. If you've got an defectiveness schema and you're overcompensating, the message is, no, I am not defective. I'll prove that. I'll show that. You know, when we think about it like that, overcompensation, an attempt to fight against the schema, is actually partly, you know, a healthy thing to do, right? We don't want to surrender to the schema. We do want to challenge the schema. But when we overcompensate, we really do that to excess. We're fighting against the schema excessively, and we don't produce great outcomes. We tend to, again, perpetuate the schema. You know, overcompensation, really, in a nutshell, we're trying to actively escape from the powerlessness and vulnerability of what happened to us in childhood around our schema development. So overcompensation means to do behaviors and actions that try to prove the schema wrong, but go way too far. Or generally, one could have an overcompensating coping style whereby someone is kind of locked or stuck in a counter-attacking style or position, where their behavior across the board tends to be excessive, off-putting to others, counterproductive and unreasonable. Think about a bully in the workplace, or someone who's always big-noting themselves everywhere they go. It might be a general style rather than specific behaviors. The more general the style, more pervasive the overcompensatory coping style, we might identify this person as being the classic description of the narcissist or the grandiose narcissist, because it's easy to spot all their overcompensation. Let's look at each schema now. The person is fighting against the meaning of the schema. Fighting against the meaning of the schema is good in theory, but when you overcompensate, you overshoot the mark. You often produce the outcome that you are trying to escape from. So in abandonment, if you're overcompensating to a trigger for abandonment, people might be excessively clingy and smothering. They might get angry and accusatory of their partner. So they'll feel the vulnerability, feeling of abandonment, and they fight against it. No, this is not going to happen, right? This is not going to happen. How dare you? Or I want to keep this person close. I just don't want this to happen. And they're driven to do these behaviors. The urge is driving them in that direction. Emotional deprivation. Well, you might have the emotional deprivation schema and feel really emotionally deprived, but when you're with others, you may demand that they attend to you. So you might act demanding and entitled. Look at me, attend to my needs, kind of thing. Mistrust abuse. I'm not going to be abused, so I'll get you before you get me. That would be one example of overcompensating. Defectiveness shame. You know, I'm not going to show anybody I'm feeling vulnerable here. Instead, I'm going to point out your flaws. I'm going to be looking perfect and acting perfect, and I'm going to be really picking people and pulling them down because I feel better when I do that. Social isolation. No, I'm not on the outer. I'm part of the group. But you might do anything
to fit into that group, even be someone that you're not, just to be part of the group. Dependence and incompetence. Well, you could, the pendulum swings, right? And you could become excessively independent. Never ask for help. So this might look like sort of going, you know, someone who's never left home and who's pretty dependent on people that says, you know what, I'm going to travel the world for 6 months and I'm doing it on my own and I'm just going to wing it and I don't need any help from anybody, and resist getting the help and to sort of do something like that. Vulnerability to harm, okay, act recklessly, take excessive risks. Look, there may be a number of reasons why people act excessively, recklessly, and take lots of risks, but this is an example. If your vulnerability, your harm schema is triggered, something bad's going to happen and you're fighting against that. Enmeshment. Well, you become the opposite of the significant other. You fight against that entanglement that you have with your mother and you do stuff to displease her. Failure. Well, I'm not a failure. I'm not a failure. So you push yourself and you do unreasonable things, excessive things. You take on insurmountable amounts of work, more than your colleagues would ever dream of, just to show, just to excel. And you overachieve. Grandiosity. You're fighting against the meaning of the schema. It's kind of like you saying, I don't want to look entitled. I don't want to look selfish. So how about I give lots of presents to people? How about I give extravagant sums of money? How about I get all ingratiating and soppy over somebody and attend to their needs too much? Fake, okay? That would look fake, right? Insufficient self-control, the opposite of that, right? Fighting against that would be extreme self-discipline and extreme restraint, rigid restraint. Subjugation, this is a really interesting one, because if you're not going to be controlled and you're not going to be powerless, what do? Well, you rebel. You won't tell me what to do. This is such an undercover domain that's not, people don't recognize that they've got a subjugation schema. So they'll provoke authority figures, fighting the fight, take up causes of your neighbor. You know, you don't even, it's not your problem, but you're taking on the problems of others because you just got to fight the fight. Taking on other people's agendas, overrepresenting the underdog to your detriment. Self-sacrifice. Well, this is the pendulum has swung the other way and you say, stuff it. You become, you know, you don't give anything to anybody, right? Give very little to others. And on the surface, you might look quite self-absorbed. So you see how you can have the same schema, but very different coping styles, and that would look different. So you wouldn't be able to tell what's underneath because the coping styles cover it up. That's why we've really got to understand our schemas, what triggers them, how we respond, and then what we do. Because two different people with the same schema can respond in very different ways to that schema. The coping style is essential that we understand that. Approval seeking, you know, you're overcompensating that, so you don't care. So approval seeking, you really care what people think. And in this you go, I don't care what people think. So you might deliberately provoke the disapproval of other people or important people. Emotional inhibition, you force yourself, no matter how uncomfortable it is, to be the life of the party. You force emotion or you overshare, okay, again, the opposite. Trying to convince yourself that the schema is not true. Unrelenting standards. Well, the opposite of that, right, doing the opposite to convince yourself the scheme is not true, is saying, I don't care, right, throwing out all standards, accepting below average standards. Punitiveness, overly forgiving and understanding in order to overcompensate. You know, you're really want to berate this person, but instead you're over forgiving and over placating and over understanding. And negativity or pessimism, where this is something you see sometimes, known as like the Pollyanna effect, if you've ever seen that movie, Pollyanna, toxic positivity, right? No, everything's wonderful, everything's great, everything's fantastic, life is wonderful, I'm wonderful, et cetera, et cetera. Over the top. I hope that gives you a bit of an idea of overcompensation. Overcompensation is a juicy one. It's good to start looking at it in a little bit more depth because we probably all do something along these lines sometimes, right? So to overcompensate means to fight against the schema, but to not do it too well, to overshoot the mark. So it's like, we're sabotaging ourselves. We're kicking ourselves in the foot. In some cases, we're well-intentioned. In other cases, we're not so well-intentioned, but we're still fighting against the schema. Overcompensating behaviors, let's face it, they're off-putting to other people. And they can drive people away from us, so they can be connection wreckers. So it's important to identify them. They can be hard to acknowledge, but particularly common in people who were controlled or did feel very powerless. They've had to fight against that so much, but they're just doing a little bit too much nowadays. Hope you've enjoyed that lesson. Thanks so much for listening today. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love for you to share it with others. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast to get notifications when new shows are released. You can visit us at goodmood.com.au/podcast for more information. You know, this podcast is intended for learning and entertainment purposes, and we really hope it achieves that. But because it's not a substitute for personal therapy, we'd like you to consult a qualified mental health professional for tailored support. Bye for now.